This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, Ronnie and I did a deal the last time, so that's great. He and I have a good friendship. We've known each other for a long time. He's got a great agent in Kim Miale. Never want to say 100%, but I feel good that we'll have a good, healthy debate, a good process. We're going to meet with Kim in Indy this week, and I'm optimistic that we'll be able to get a deal done.
So that was Eric DaCosta yesterday, and I think it struck us all when he was so optimistic about Ronnie Stanley, which was a much different tone than the end-of-season press conference, Jason, where it felt like, okay, sounds like Roger Rosengarten is going to be the left tackle unless one falls to them in the draft. But now seems like Ronnie Stanley's going to be back with the Ravens.
The more I've thought about this, I wonder how much of the seeds were sown in the haircut he took last year. And that they obviously had a lot of frank discussions.
Yes.
And he obviously understood what the market realities were for him then. He understood that, yeah, you might be 31 years old, but your ankles and your knees are 56 or whatever. I am sure there was, as he put it, a healthy debate, a healthy back and forth about where Ronnie Stanley was, what the market value was, what the value to the team was, you know, what is leadership and that stuff and being here a long time, how much that mattered, but how much they're also mitigating the risk of further catastrophic injury, both for the player and the team. And so I think it stands to reason that as part of those conversations, there could have been also discussions that said, look, if you get back to being Ronnie Stanley and you outperform what we're asking you to do this year, then this doesn't necessarily have to be the last time we do business together, but we need to see another 9 to 12 months out of your body and out of your play, right? And are you able to practice? Are you completely shut down during the week? Are we still rotating tackles? There were a lot of variants between the extreme of Ronnie Stanley's cooked or Ronnie Stanley's back to being an all-pro, right? Between those two potential outcomes, there was a lot of terrain.
Well, and I agree 100% they had those conversations because remember, as part of the haircut, he was under contract for 2025. They voided that final year of the deal and cut his pay for 2024. So I'm sure those conversations happen. And we keep bringing up the Eric DaCosta saying not a lot of big decisions. This is arguably this and Mark Andrews, the biggest decisions internally for this football team. And it just tells me, keep going back to, I think he wants to be here. Because with how weak of a free agency class this is, if he went out to the open market, I guarantee he would get a bigger contract than he would get in Baltimore if he were to sign prior to the new league year opening on March 12th.
And I think it was you yesterday, Jeff. You made a good point. The Ravens know his medicals better than anybody.
And he knows they know.
Yes.
Good, bad, ugly.
Yes.
They know it all. And there is always that risk of you enter a free agency. He would be one of the top. This is not a good free agent class.
No.
He's one of the top 5 to top 10 free agents, regardless of position, like across the board. Not one of the top 5 or 10 offensive linemen.
No.
One of the top 5 or 10 players. So there's some teams that want to get that business done right away, and you agree to terms during the fake tampering period it's announced afterwards, but you haven't actually done the physical yet, right? You haven't actually fully executed the contract. And the devil's in the details, and there is always the chance that he goes for an MRI in Kansas City and they see something 5 days after this alleged agreed to terms, and now he's back on the open market as damaged goods. So I think that's certainly another sort of element to this, you know, part of the backdrop. But, like, I don't think there's a lot of secrets between these teams, like between these sides, I should say. And I'm sure they're saying, we still think, like, okay, the way you played, you're like a $20 million-ish type guy, but we're not giving you guarantees beyond a year. And then maybe there's half the second year is fully guaranteed at contract, and you've got to earn your way to the other half kicking in. But it comes out to being basically a two-year deal.
That's what I'm most curious about, and maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but with how Eric DaCosta talked yesterday, it sounds like something is going to get done prior to the league year starting. I am curious, when a deal is consummated, what is it looking like? Is it a three-year, four-year? What is it actually? How much guaranteed money? Because if you're the Ravens, that's a tough game to play if you're giving him future guarantees beyond year one any significance. Because, yes, he's played in 30 of the last 34 games, but you know his medical history, and you know how many games he missed from 2020 through 2022. And even in 2023, you were rotating him at tackle down the stretch.
So we were struck by how optimistic Eric DaCosta was when talking about Ronnie Stanley. He also talked about the tight end room, and it was a much different tone, we thought, Ben.
Mark is a great player. We're blessed to have three really good tight ends under contract this year. They all contribute in different ways, their chemistry, their camaraderie, their impact on the offense, the relationship with the other skill guys is great. I mean, Mark's going to go down as one of our great players. He'll be in the Ring of Honor someday. I love having Mark on the team. He's an awesome player. I know he's going to have an amazing season. We'll figure out all the roster machinations over the coming weeks, but I can tell you there's no bigger fan of Mark Andrews than me. And he's been a blessing to have on the team, his leadership, the way he approaches the game, his attention to detail. He's just one of those guys.
So I said this late in the show yesterday, and the more I hear it, and I'm not trying to sound crude, but I almost hear like it's like he's giving an obituary.
It's the kiss of death. Like, we love you. Here's a kiss on the cheek. Vaya con Dios. If we can get a four for you, where you're gone. Or maybe not. He's gone no matter what. Yeah. But that sounded like an obituary. It sounded like the way he talked about Odell Beckham around this time last year, when it was clear that, oh, he's a special guy. He's always going to have a special place in my heart. I love getting texts from him. He's one of my all-time favorites. He's in the circle of trust. And we'll see how the wide receiver room works itself out. It's very similar.
When you're bringing up Ring of Honor for a 29-year-old, I think that says it all. And it's also, it's not like this guy's set to hit free agency where you're like, okay, and you can't
got him at your price for next year.
Exactly. You're not crying with the cap. You have him under contract already. I think his days are numbered.
So do we think that this is, and we talked, the question was posed about the tight end room, that we're going to see an Isaiah Likely extension, maybe even like Charlie Kohler's not going to make big money, but they extend the two young guys,
sign them both.
And Mark Andrews out the door.
And they'll draft the tight end in the mid rounds, and they might strike gold. They're really good at finding third to fifth round tight ends who provide value one way or the other. I mean, even Nick Boyle, was he?
He was a fifth or sixth.
Yeah, Delaware, wasn't he?
Yeah, Delaware.
Yes, I would think this is a direct reallocation of resources. And also, it's the best wide receiver room they've had maybe close to ever.
Yeah.
And they're all still young and cheap with upside. So it's – and we saw that this team could beat you at a lot of different ways out of a lot of different position groups. And it could just be next year that, you know, especially if one of these other receivers develops a little bit, or they do go out and get a Keenan Allen or something like that at their price, that they might be, hey, we like ourselves in 11 more now than we did last year.
It's been made abundantly clear the big moves that the Ravens make this offseason are going to be internal. They're going to be contract extensions, whether it's a Lamar Jackson, a Marlon Humphrey, Hamilton, Linderbaum, or an Isaiah Likely, any combination of those guys. Those are the big moves that we will get this offseason.
It is fascinating, and obviously, and we had Rita on yesterday, and she was like, "Well, let's go get a TJ Hockenson deal." And I'm like, "Well, slow down a little bit. Like, he's not on his rookie deal, and he's not 25 years old. Like, but they'll get something for him, and they'll use that to they love their draft picks."
I think a four is realistic, and Jason brought up a good point. We know that Eric DaCosta loves those, hey, we'll give you a four and Mark Andrews and we'll take
we
your
swap
three.
Your, and we yeah, swap
the
whatever.
Swaps. Yeah, yeah. That could be the case as well.
Yeah, I'm sure he will try to put lipstick on the pig, but I don't think there's going to be a trade where people are like, oh, my God, they crushed it for Mark Andrews. This isn't going to be like, remember when they traded Hayden Hurst?
Hayden Hurst, yeah.
Like, ooh, they did pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't think this will be that. I think the market will be somewhat limited because people are going to have concerns about Mark Andrews. I'm telling you, tight ends go quickly. Look at Kelsey. Like, there's not going to be – and they're always available in the draft, and he's become a better blocker, but he isn't a Kelsey. He's not a complete full tight end in the way some of these other guys are or were. And he's only got 1 year left. And so is it a rental? Is it not a rental? Now, they could get the comp pick, so that helps a little bit if he balls out and somebody signs into a decent deal. Or if he plays well enough that they want to re-sign him, that's a win for them too. But no, I don't think this is going to be like a win for them. But if they reallocate the resources correctly, it'll help them short and long term. And I think likely can have a season better than Andrews' season last year, next year, without having to split time with Andrews and split personnel groups. And, hey, you get a little stronger. You get a little bit better blocking, and he's made some strides, and that's never going to be the main thing. But, like, I think there's potential for him to have a bigger 2025 than Mark Andrews' 2024.
We are live in the Maryland Club, and that's inside Xfinity Center. We're getting you ready for Maryland and Michigan State.
Sam Basayo sack fly.
There you go.
Sports update.
Yeah, Orioles lead.
Sam Basayo driving in runs in Bradenton, baby. Yeah.
6:30 tip, 5:30 pregame right here on 105.7 The Fan. But T-Bone time coming up next. It's TMI with TIM. What you got?
It's become one of my favorite days of the year, guys. The NFLPA report card is out. We will go over all of the grades that the Ravens got. Where did they do well? Where did they do poorly? But most importantly, I went and looked at every single category that a team got an F or an F minus and pulled all of the reasoning. We will give it to you next on the.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
NFLPA report card day. When this dropped a couple of years ago, they invented a new letter grade, and that is the F-, which we did not know existed. And a reason why at that time the Ravens got an F- with what their training staff was because of Steve Saunders still being there, and he was a part of the super spreader, and that was a reason why the Ravens had to play on a Wednesday, but we digress.
He allegedly was the super spreader.
Yes.
I don't think there's any allegedly. He got suspended for it. The PA and the league determined it started in from him not following protocols. It also compromised the health of not just players, but some of their spouses.
Here's an older clip of John Harbaugh when they moved on from Steve Saunders.
I have a lot of respect for Steve Saunders. I think he worked really hard and did a heck of a job and made us a strong and in condition football team. And then Scott, you know, through the circumstances that take place, they are what they are. And Scott stepped in, you know, maybe a little bit of a tough circumstance, right? And just handled it just gracefully and aggressively and did a great job.
Arbs. All right.
How about that? It just fell from the sky. No accountability, no acceptance of why he finally fired his buddy.
He did a great job, except the players said he did a horrible job.
And then just things happened so that he wasn't there anymore.
Well, let's get to the Ravens rankings before we get to the F's and F minuses. So the Ravens overall ranking 13th out of 32 teams. I believe this is the third year now that the NFLPA has put out these report cards. Yes. But just going over year, Ravens went down in the treatment of families. They were a C-plus this year, finishing 17th. And if you look it up, it's on NFLPA's website. There's blurbs about each of these things. And players express a desire for better, more direct communication between the team and their families. Food and cafeteria, they went up B, 14th. Nutritionist, dietitian, 20th. That's a B. Locker room, B minus, 17th. B minus in the training room, B minus in the training staff, 22nd. B plus in the weight room, B plus in strength coaches. That's 22nd. That's probably a B plus. Team travel was one of their higher ones at A minus, 11th. Head coach, B.
Yeah.
28th. In head coach. And the blurb for this, 75% of Ravens players feel their head coach, John Harbaugh, is efficient with their time. That ranks 28th out of 32. So they do not think that John Harbaugh is efficient. The players feel that Harbaugh is moderately receptive to feedback from the locker room on the team's needs, ranking him 25th.
Moderately
out of 32
receptive.
32 head
he
coaches.
He takes it under advisement.
Yeah, kind of interesting. And the highest.
Yes.
Grade was it owner.
Yeah.
Owner Steve Bisciotti's average rating for perceived willingness to invest in the facilities, 9.28 out of 10 from Ravens players. That is ninth out of the 32 owners.
Top 10.
Players feel Bisciotti significantly contributes to a positive team culture, ranks eighth out of the 32. Players feel that Bisciotti is extremely committed to building a competitive team. That ranks ninth out of the 32 owners.
They're more confident than you are, Jason.
Well, no, I mean, 9th or 10th. Is he the 9th or 10th most committed owner in the NFL?
But he got an A.
I would say maybe.
Yeah.
He's certainly not in the top 5, and he's certainly not in the top 32-team league. He's not in the top 8, not in the top 25. You know what? I'm going to do my own rankings. I'll get back to you on that exactly.
I would like to hear the JLC
most committed NFL owners. Yeah.
Right. Well, let's get to the
next week. I want
the
that.
Best part.
Oh, you'll have it before then.
The Fs and the F minuses.
We'll
go from where the teams were ranked the highest to the lowest. Commanders finished 11th overall. They got an F in the locker room. The blurb: team needs a new locker room with bigger lockers and more space. Also, 37% of players report ongoing plumbing problems in the locker room. Ooh. So we know that happened at FedEx.
They put lipstick on a pig, but it's still the pig.
Broncos, they were 17th overall, F in their locker room. Jaguars, 18th overall, F in treatment of families.
Oh.
Jaguars provide daycare during home games. They are one of only 10 teams that do not provide a family room during home games. Treatment of families is the team's lowest graded category. Players believe that many changes need to be made. They would like more access to sideline passes so they can see their families pregame, during the game. Players want a family room so their families can escape the heat and allow mothers to change / nurse babies. Finally, players want their post-game family area upgraded.
Shaq Khan's got to get rid of that boat to get all this done.
So now we get to our first F minus.
Liam Cohen's going to be scrubbing his boat.
Let's get to our first F-minus, and that involves the Bengals, who finished 24th overall. They got an F-minus in the treatment of families.
Wow.
Jeez.
Bengals are one of only 3 teams that do not offer daycare during home games and one of only 10 teams that do not offer a family room during home games. The Bengals are the only team in the NFL that fails to offer one of those 2 benefits.
Can't the families go across the street like the players do? Isn't there a room over there, Jason?
They can, might be a little congested on game day.
It goes on to this.
It's right across the service drive from the
Goes on to this. Cincinnati players feel like there is little to no effort put forth when it comes to the organization's effort to support their families. One player describes the treatment of families as, quote, almost disrespectful.
Oh, wow.
Katie Blackburn, take him on.
And then.
Not a stray, though. That's a direct hit.
That is a direct hit.
Battleship.
They got an F for their food and dining area. They finished 32nd. There's only 32 teams, people. 32nd in the taste of their team's food. 32nd in the freshness of their food. Jeez. So what are they
feeding?
Somebody's
got to be last.
Are they getting damn Lunchables? I mean, what the hell?
Lunchables at least fresh, bro.
Crustables. What are they called?
Crustables. So this is the best part. Bengals players wish that more meals would be provided throughout the week. The team does not provide 3 meals a day and is one of only 2 teams in the league that do not do so. That said, food is an area around which the team has continued to improve, still dead last. So how bad were those meals? Last year, the Bengals began offering dinner on Wednesdays. And this year, they began offering breakfast for players who come into the facility on their off day for additional training and work.
Isn't that sweet?
The players hope that the team will continue to improve,
bringing
them closer
to the game. They're going to pay Higgins and Jamar Chase. Just keep holding your breath.
Browns, they were 30th overall. Their F was in the locker room. They were dead second to last to the Patriots, which we'll get to in a sec. Patriots, 31st overall. F in the weight room. F in travel. And this is probably my favorite blurb. Players want an upgraded team plane. The current plane is too small. There's no Wi-Fi available. And there are seats with ashtrays in the armrests.
Jason, do you remember, we're similar?
I remember Eastern Airlines, and there was smoking and non-smoking on the plane.
Yeah, somehow, Bone, there used to be a school of thought that if you sat behind row 25, you could smoke and the rows in front would not be affected.
Yeah, it was great.
But that plane must be from the 80s.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Players specifically responded that, quote, our plane is the worst thing. Size, space, safety.
Pretty soon, they're just going to be saying a prayer every time their plane lands at this point. So I really think this one, in light of recent events, you might, if that plane is functioning and it lands, you better be happy.
Cardinal.
That ain't you two telling me, it's so much safer to fly than drive. Really?
Cardinals. They were dead last in the NFL overall. F- for the locker room. How about this?
Bidwell sucks.
Only 24% of the players believe that the overall locker room size is adequate. How small is that locker room? They got an F in the weight room, and players feel they do not have enough space in their weight room. So small locker room, small weight room.
Well, when you're highest paid players, little Kyler Murray.
Little Kyler.
Everything might be built to scale.
Aloysius, shout out.
Built to scale.
Hey, coming up next, hey, we're getting you ready for Maryland, Michigan State. It's a 6:30 tip, 5:30 pregame. What about from a betting angle? Where's Tim Murray putting his money on this one? He's from VSiN, and he joins us next here on The Fan. We are live inside the Maryland Club at the Xfinity Center, what we are calling the biggest Maryland basketball game probably in 5 years since game day was here for Maryland, Michigan State on Leap Day, February 29, 2020. And what about this game and some others from a gambling angle? Let's go out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. Tim Murray from VSiN joins us. And Tim, thank you as always for your time. So what do you think? Maryland right now, looking at one sports book, has Maryland as a 4.5-point favorite, over under 149.5 against Sparty. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, this is one where I initially eyed up the Terps here. I was curious what this point spread would be, and it popped out 3.5 last night. Got bet up, as you mentioned, Ken, to 4.5, and right now is kind of settled in at 4. DraftKings sits at 3.5, Moneyline at -180. So it's a little pricey, and I think as we've talked over the years, you know that the way that my mind works, I think that is a little interesting, the fact that Maryland is this big of a favorite against the Michigan State team who, you know, I'll give Michigan State credit for this. You know, this is a team that I came away very impressed by their performance last Friday night when they went out to Ann Arbor. I thought that was a tricky spot for them. I thought they would lose that game. But you look at their, I mean, honestly, since they lost that Indiana game, guys, at home, they bounced back with a thumping of Illinois on the road, and then they beat Purdue at home as like a 3-point, 3-4-point favorite, covered that number, and then they went on the road to Ann Arbor in a pretty raucous environment. But I like this spot for Maryland tonight. I have yet to bet it. I'm just trying to figure out a way to bet it. Do I lay -180 on the money line? Do I lay the -140? Do I find some sort of dance partner to potentially bring it down from a money line parlay standpoint? But I do like the Terps. Real quickly, I'll just show, I'll tell your listeners over at VSiN.com, we've got the tickets from a betting handle standpoint. And the public actually likes Michigan State, which, as Chris Felica would like to say, sometimes this is a dog with fleas situation. So I like the Terps here. I'm just deciding, do I want to lay the 3.5? Do I want to take the money line, or do I want to include them in some sort of money line parlay? But I think this spot at home, you guys tell me. I know everyone tends to make excuses. Oh, 6:30, it's so early, there's traffic. What's your feel? You think it's going to be raucous tonight?
The students were lined up outside the Xfinity Center. The security told me they got here at noon, and there were students lined up, Tim.
That's what I like to hear. Bentley's, deliver booze. Come on, let's go.
Yes. You mentioned last week, Tim, that you sprinkled some money. You thought that there was some value on the Terps to make it to the Final Four. Well, given their schedule, Michigan State, they play at Michigan next week. Have you thought about sprinkling any money on them to win a share of the Big Ten?
So right now, great question. They're at +750 to win the regular season crown here. So you have to double check your tiebreakers and whatnot. So you guys maybe could speak to it more than I can. Right now, from a standing standpoint, when we look at the Terps and where they are in the Big Ten, they're currently, where are they at? They're currently
fourth, I think.
Two games back of Michigan and Michigan State. So you got Michigan State tonight, and then down the stretch they've got at Penn State and at Michigan. So an opportunity certainly to make up a lot of ground there. So I don't know at +750 if that's something I'm racing to take a nibble at, but you know, I will say this, Tim, we have seen betting support in the market that I bet into and to make the Final Four. DraftKings are down to 10-1 to make the Final Four right now. So there's definitely some love and some belief in this Maryland team. But yeah, right now, to win the regular season crown, Michigan State remains the favorite. Michigan's at plus 135, and the Terps are the third shot at plus 750 with the home game tonight against Michigan State, and then, of course, they play Michigan in about a week on the road.
You know, I'm like you, Tim. I like to dabble in the dark side here.
Deep cuts.
And I like to get into it a little
bit. JLCAA.
I don't know if you're on anything off the beaten path tonight. I love the NC Central Maryland Eastern Ooh. Shore over. Okay. I love the Central Arkansas at Lipscomb over. And I also did lay 4.5 with Indiana. That's obviously not as off the grid. I know that number's moved to like 6, 6.5 yep. in some places
Good number
now
there.
Against Penn State. But anything you've got cooking.
All right. I wouldn't call it a deep cut, but we are we're thinking of backing the Bobby Hurleys here. Arizona State at home taking on BYU. This is a BYU team that has looked tremendous as of late. Four-game winning streak for the Cougs, and a hell of a game on Saturday night. A little controversial finish, whether or not that was a foul or not on Arizona, but from a betting standpoint, we're kind of happy that that happened. Now, you look at Arizona State, a team that's been disappointing this year. BYU feels like they're at kind of the peak of their powers, so to speak. So this is maybe that classic sell-high opportunity. So I think Arizona State plus the 4.5 is going to be a look for me. Looking over at our betting splits over at VSiN.com, 71% of bets liking the Cougs here. So I will take the Sun Devils in an ugly home dog spot against BYU, fresh off of their back-to-back win, back-to-back big wins over Kansas and Arizona on the road.
Talking with Tim Murray, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Tim, next segment we're going to be talking about this Sports Illustrated story about this point shaving scandal that's going on, and just curious, because gambling is your business, like how concerned are you about what's going on in college basketball?
You know, it's always a bit concerning, but I will say this, and this I work for a gambling network, so we talk about sports betting 24/7 at VSiN. I think where we've gotten, and there's another team, Jeff Goodman reported earlier today that the New Orleans men's basketball team has held out a handful of players due to a suspicions there. What I will say, and you know, Todd Furman, who's a friend of mine, has been in the gambling business for a long time, I thought encapsulated it well. He said, people keep blaming legalized sports betting for the scandals we're seeing in college basketball. Newsflash, this stuff has unfortunately gone on for years, but yes. until now, as money flows onshore, are programs, leagues, and integrity agencies able to police some of it? So, look, it's been going on for a while. You know, there was an infamous one in the 80s where, you know, someone that I've gotten to know a little bit, Jimmy Vaccaro out here in Las Vegas, kind of picked up on it. Was the Arizona State scandal. I think they did some sort of Netflix documentary on it.
Yes.
But the thing I'll point out is it's not good, obviously, but there are integrity agencies out there, and because of the legalization of gambling, they now are keeping more closer eyes on this. So I would just say, this has been going on, and players probably have been getting away with it for a while. And now, because of the legalization of gambling, it's actually opened up the eyes for more people to keep an eye out for any suspicious activities out there. So, look, when it comes to, you know, player props, that's a bit of the slippery slope, especially on unders and whatnot. So, could you see some tweaks from sports books? And I'll be honest, DraftKings. I believe in college football doesn't have unders for player props. It's just overs. So something to keep an eye on. That could be tweaked as we move forward.
That's a good thought.
You know, but I think from a point shaving standpoint, and you know, getting that, you know, that person in your ear, I actually am of the mindset that the legalization, as many states that we've have, has actually opened up more eyes. And because here's the thing, and I'll end with this because I know you got bigger fish to fry. sportsbooks don't want this to happen, right? They want it to be as buttoned up as possible. People think that, you know, Las Vegas and Nevada are as, you know, loosey-goosey as it comes. It's funny because people ask me all the time, oh, you know, what can we bet for the Super Bowl? What crazy prop? I'm like, believe it or not, the Nevada Gaming Commission is pretty buttoned up, man. They don't let you do crazy, wacky stuff like the national anthem length and, what's, you know, Kendrick Lamar's first song going to be, et cetera, et cetera. So these point-shaving scandals, while concerning, no doubt, have actually, in my opinion, been policed more and found more because of the legalization of gambling and because of these integrity companies starting up here in Nevada.
Tim Murray lets people know what's going on at VSiN.
Yeah, you can catch me tonight, VSiN primetime from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. And then on the weekends, check me out on the VSiN weekend morning line starting at 10 a.m. And you can watch that program because, you know, everyone wants to see this lovely face on Masson 2. So if you fall asleep to a little Orioles spring training, guess what? You might wake up to this ugly mug on your TV there on Masson 2.
Thanks, buddy. We'll chat next week.
Hey, boys, enjoy the game. Go Terps.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, coming up next, we get to that story that we just alluded to with Tim. Sports Illustrated has a major point-shaving scandal going on in college basketball. Some necessary roughness next here on The Fan. So this article popped up on SI.com, I think, yesterday. It's titled, Inside the Gambling Ring Allegedly Linked to Point-Shaving Across Pro and College Basketball. And if you remember, about a year ago, Jonte Porter got...
Yes.
Popped. He was holding himself out of games late so that people could hit their unders on his props. Well, he got caught, and I guess the people involved in this with the college basketball teams were linked to him as well. So this thing is vast and encompasses, it seems to be, numerous college basketball teams. And what it seems to be is it's at the lower level of college basketball where these schools don't have a big budget.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we're all pretty naive if you think everything is completely on the up and up every night. There's just too much going on. We're in a society now where you can have access to people that you've never met from thousands of miles away through social media and WhatsApp or all these different sort of technological opportunities now to influence people or sort of bring them over to the dark side. And I have a feeling it's far more prevalent than we would ever think or know. And I think there are, to Tim Murray's point, who we just had on, you know, from VSiN, I do think a lot of this gets nipped in the bud and we never hear about it, but there's no way that they're policing everything. And the individual at the sort of top of the pyramid in this scheme was caught on trying to board a one-way flight to Columbia,
yeah,
like not Columbia, South Carolina, not Columbia, Missouri, Columbia,
not
the
Columbia,
country,
Maryland.
With $10,000 in cash and not a whole lot else. There's also links to maybe Terry Rozier of the NBA,
yeah,
and the league saying they couldn't see any evidence, but feds are saying that they're still looking into it. And then these guys also were involved in placing really large bets on first half totals for a lot of lower level teams, including a North Carolina A&T Delaware game that I was on.
That's what I was going to bring up, where you're JLCAA, and that was one of the games impacted. And what was also interesting, mentioning the North Carolina A&T, that them, along with a couple of the other smaller schools, some of the least funded teams and athletic programs in Division One. So you're preying on those,
yes,
those programs that need the money.
Well, and how many of these kids have upside to go anywhere, even to play like in Turkey or something like,
yeah,
that? It might be limited. Their basketball days are nearing an end. I mean, look, they're young, they're vulnerable.
Money's money, man.
Yeah, and it's immediate, and it doesn't sound like it's that bad, and you can convince yourself it's not that bad. And at the end of the day, we are talking about a sporting event, not, you know, it's entertainment. So I totally get it, and I do think it probably happens more than we think. And the North Carolina A&T thing is interesting to me because I tracked them pretty well, and that's where Jonathan Lamothe went.
JLCA.
And then, like, they play college at Charleston. Because they're saying there could have been irregularities in how players were used or who was available and who started and who didn't. And this is from the past. But literally a week ago, Jonathan Lamothe is the best player in the CAA, and he's not in the starting lineup, and you can't find a report anywhere. And I'm thinking maybe he's hurt. And then he comes in like the second TV timeout, like 6 minutes into the game. He still goes for like 20 and 10, but they didn't cover by half a point against College of Charleston, and he was the best player on the court.
Yeah,
this kid's been playing 38 minutes a night. So it's just like you start to think, and you're like, yeah, I mean, I may have had the right cap in that game, but there's things going on. I mean, and again, I have no idea. Maybe it was a discipline thing. I have no idea. But like,
are you staying?
I've already
moving forward. Maybe not right
now.
Maybe not.
Bone. It depends. I'm looking at the Northeastern line tomorrow night. Right now, it depends on the line, and I could go under NCAA team Northeastern, or I could put a few ducats on the Aggies. But this is like, it's not new. It's happened forever, but it's more mainstream now. And I think because the kids can more easily make the bets themselves as well, or have their buddies do it for them on an app. You don't need a bookie.
No.
I do wonder if it's happening way more than we think.
And the other thing that's interesting, it's playing on the article, and you alluded to it, is you can now sort of fix first half numbers.
Yes, a lot of these were first halves.
And so the kids can still go out and try to win the basketball game. It's not trying to lose a game. You do the first halves.
And you don't have to worry as much about injury risk and that kid getting hurt, which compromises your bet. You've cut down on the sample size and also foul trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, you could pick up two right away and still sit a good part of the first half, but it cuts down on some of the variables. So, no, it's not surprising that they would drill down on these, you know, $50,000 to $300,000 bets on first half totals.
The one point Tim Murray made that I hadn't even thought of is now that it's legal, there are watchdog organizations that are paying closer attention, but you're never going
to
stop.
I think the feds have always paid attention to it.
Yeah,
that's
but now
why
you
people have,
yeah. have
been busted. I'm sure now there's more outsourcing of it, as Tim said, and there's probably more regulatory bodies involved. But I do think the allure of it is more just because these commercials are still out there everywhere. Yeah. And like, I have younger kids, and I went to talk to my daughter, my wife's high school class a week ago, and all they wanted to ask me about was gambling. And I'm like, you're never going to win game. Like, what are you doing? Like, no. Like, I'm like, I make $10 and $15 bets. Like, and I have discretionary income. You guys shouldn't be making $10 bets.
Yeah.
But it's out there.
Except for that one 4-unit bet you made. Yeah.
Loyola.
Yeah. Still 4 units off of 25 bucks.
So I don't even know what 4 units
mean. You're killing you at the end of the day. Yeah. It's four times your normal bet.
Yeah, so a hundy.
Yeah. That was a big one. What was it? What was it, Lafayette or was it Lehigh?
I still don't know. Depends who you talk to.
Sunshine thought it was the other.
Yeah. Depends who you're talking to.
We are live at the Xfinity Center. We're inside the Maryland Club, which is beautiful. You need to check this place out. Maryland's taking on Michigan State, 6:30 tip, 5:30 pregame right here on 105.7 The Fan. But we head back to Indianapolis, at least in audio. League at large, we're going to hear from Andy Reid. We're going to hear from Sean McDermott, Joe Ortiz. They spoke at the Combine. We hear from them next here on The Fan.